Good morning to everyone. We're glad to be here with you this morning, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to share some thoughts from the Word of God with you. I'm sorry about the sickness, Brother Billy and others. I'm sure you're like most of the places. There are quite a number of people that have come down with something at this time. But Carol and I are glad to be able to come and be with you. We have one of our granddaughters, Hallie, with us this morning, and we look forward to our time together in this period of worship and study of God's Word. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 John, a little short epistle, we're going to be spending most of our time in this lesson in John's writing, and as you can see behind me, we're going to be talking about the subject of blessed assurance. This epistle could be called the Book of Assurance. The word know is used 40 times in these five short chapters. John repeatedly reminds us as Christians what we should know or what we can know and understand about our life in this world and our relationship to God Almighty. When we think about the question of knowing, we understand that we learn early on that we know things in this world and in life through senses. Go back to the first chapter of 1 John and look at the first few verses. I want you to listen to the language that the apostle uses. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we've seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. When we think about the senses, we learn early on touch, taste, smell, see, and hear. When you look at the words that the apostle used to describe their knowledge and their understanding and the basis of their faith and their message, look at the words he used. We've heard, we've seen him with our eyes, and the apostle John, along with the other apostles, said, we've touched him with our own hands. And so their testimony concerning Jesus Christ being the Christ, the Lord, the one who lived and then died and was resurrected the third day to be the Savior, it was based upon their personal knowledge of Christ. When we look at the language that John uses in this letter, this epistle, we understand that their message was based upon the senses that they were able to experience. We also know things in life. We know them by faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Our faith is based upon the testimony of others, but it's based upon our understanding that God is there. Others have testified to their personal knowledge, and we can believe that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, which we do not look at, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Then in the fifth chapter, verse 1, the Apostle Paul explains, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know. Notice the language that the inspired writers use. Blessed assurance, as John is going to tell us, is based upon knowledge. And in this case, there are things that we know, we understand, and these come to us, as Paul says, by faith. Chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, therefore we're also confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. As we think about the blessed assurance that we have in Christ, the question that I want us to raise in this first study is, what do we know? What is it that we understand by faith? What becomes the basis of our knowledge and our understanding? As I've indicated, John uses this word know some 40 times in these five short chapters. You'll bear with me as I work with the computer and my lesson. I had a difficult time putting all this together last night, and so if you will, just bear with me. All right, our first point, based on John's writing, is that we can know God. Now, that may seem simple to us, yet when we look at the writings of the first century inspired men of God, notice the language that the apostle uses to describe God's people then, to describe us today. 10 times in 1 John, the apostle affirms that we can know God. The Christian, of course, knows that God exists. Chapter 1 and verse 5, this is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We understand that God is there. And that's what John states in the very first paragraph of this book. The psalmist tells us that it's the fool that says in his heart, there is no God. We look at the evidence around us. We see evidence of design, of great power. And we conclude with the psalmist that these things are the evidence that God is there, that God is the one who spoke this world into existence. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 and Psalms 19 both declare that. The Christian knows God, though, in a different sense. We're going to look at John's writing now. Notice what John tells us about our relationship to God, that it is real, that it is meaningful, and that it's personal. We'll start with chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Drop down to chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Again, I emphasize and just ask you to pay attention carefully to the wording that we're learning from John. In this passage, it is God who is our Father. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Again, the language describes us as the children of God. God is our Father, and we are his children. Chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Again, the emphasis is upon what God has shown toward us, what has been done for us, motivated by the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3 and verse 16. Then we drop down to chapter 4, verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Chapter 5, verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Again, the confidence, the understanding that we can know God, we can be related to him as his children and he our Father. The blessed assurance that this epistle describes for us is that one knows God not merely by claims, but by obedience, by an expression on our part of our faith in God and our desire to do his will. Now turn back to chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. I've heard people throughout the years tell me, as they were describing their religious experiences, they said, I know the Lord, and he knows me. And when I looked at their life, and that was a part of our reason for being together, there were multiple differences in our faith, our approach to life, our understanding of what religion was all about. I've seen people whose life was a reflection of this world in every sense. And yet they would confess when put on the spot, well, I know God and he knows me. A person living in absolute disobedience to God, then claiming to know God. What John says is that person doesn't know God at all. It is the person who seeks God's will by doing it. Understanding that we know, we come to understand our relationship to Him when we obey His commands. That's what John says. Now then, the second point that I want us to understand is found in chapter 2, verse 5 that we've just read. The Christian knows that he is in the Lord. When you think about it, there have been times when it was necessary for people in past times to be in the God-appointed place and to be there at the God-specified time to enjoy the blessing of God. Let me cite an example or two. For instance, when we go back to the book of Genesis, Noah had to be in the ark, and it was in the ark that he and his family found the safety from the destruction of the world, the flood that came to destroy the wickedness of that time. When we think about the Israelites a little bit later, the Israelites had to be in a house, in a dwelling place, with the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel in order to escape the death of the firstborn. When we look back at these stories, they help us to understand that when God has described a place where we must be to enjoy His blessings, that message is repeated in the New Testament and especially here in the book of 1 John. For our safety or our salvation, the New Testament teaches us that we must be in Christ. I emphasize, it is in Christ. Look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Very familiar scripture to us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Person becomes new in Christ. We're a new creature. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul makes it clear where the blessing of salvation is found. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And then we back up to chapter 3 of the book of Galatians, verse 26 and 27. For you're all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so it's in Christ that redemption, salvation is found. And when a person submits to the Lord and his commands by obedience, and is baptized, the scripture says we're baptized into Christ. Just as all of us took all the necessary steps this morning to be in this building, to be in this auditorium, we finally came to a point as we approached the front doors where we took a step into this building, and once that happened, we were here. We were in the building. Obedience, as we've learned from 1 John, is the proof that one is in Christ. When we obey the commands of the Lord, when we do what He has taught us to do, to be in Him, we then have become a part of Him. That's knowledge that we can have. I think I've missed some points here that I'll just quickly flash before you. All right, our third point is that we know that the Lord is in us. Chapter 3 and verse 24. The text says, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. That verse emphasizes that there is a sense in which we can understand and know that Christ is in us. When we do his commands, when we follow his directions in life, we can be confident. Our faith can understand that Christ is living in us. The book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What Paul writes about is our understanding of God's plan, how we fit into that plan, how we become a part of that plan by our obedience to the commandments that are given. And when that happens, there is a knowledge then that we can possess and understand that Christ is living in us. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, the apostle says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, of course, of God's plan, of God's love, and of God's mercy. This helps us to understand that we can, by faith, understand that God dwells in us, that Christ is in us. Let's turn now to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Again, you see the obvious message of this passage. The word know is again used to describe the knowledge that we can have. We can understand that we have eternal life as a Christian, as a person who has obeyed the Lord, one who has submitted our hearts to him, have filled our hearts with faith in him and our life with devotion to his will. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're able to, in our hearts, by faith, look beyond this passing realm to a realm that is eternal in heaven. This life is temporary. It's passing. But the scripture says that God has promised to us eternal life, and that's found in Jesus Christ. And so we live our life understanding that there is another realm, there is another phase of our existence that will come with the return of Christ. And as Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 teaches us, we live life in hope of eternal life. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul, as he begins this short letter, he said, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is according to godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. But has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. The apostle reminds Timothy that we live life in hope, in expectation of eternal life. That brings us to our concluding thoughts. Let me make sure that I've caught up with what I've just said. We live in a world of doubt. Unbelief surrounds us. We live in a world of uncertainty, at least in the hearts of so many people. But in this world, as God's people, we have a conviction that gives purpose to our life and inspires hope in the life that is to come. We have hope in death because of the message of God, our faith in that message, and the hope that that message inspires in us. As the hymn we sing often, Blessed Assurance, captures for us, it expresses the faith that we have and the dimensions of that faith, which brings to us the blessed assurance. Our life as a Christian is not directed by emotionalism, as so many religious people's life is. But our life is directed by our faith in God and His Word, His promises to us. That faith has to be expressed, though. And that's where you and I have to step up to the challenge that the Word of God presents to us. It's one thing to understand the message that is given. It's one thing for us to understand the promises that have been made a part of the message of God. Promises in this life, for us to enjoy the blessings of God, to enjoy relationship with Him, to enjoy the confidence of our knowledge of God, to understand that we can be a part of His family, and that's special. But the challenge is for us not just to understand that, but is to put it into practice in our life, and that brings us to the commandments that have been given by the Lord for our benefit, for our salvation, and that become a basis of our relationship with Him. And so, the challenge is for us to express our faith, as 1 John teaches, by our obedience to His will. If you're in this audience this morning, and you've not accepted that challenge in the sense that you've not put it into practice yet, we want to encourage you to do that. It's one thing to claim, I know the Lord, and the Lord knows me. It's another to take the directives that God has given us for our personal, individual salvation and our relationship with Him and put those directives in practice by obedience. We, of course, understand that it begins by our expression of faith in Christ and our repentance from our sins of the past and our being baptized with Christ, being baptized into His death and raised to walk in newness of life. If you're in this audience this morning and that's your need, you've never done that, but you want to know God as we've described it, as the Bible describes it, and that you may have the blessed assurance of knowing that God has made you a part of His family. You're one of His children. That'll be the result of your being born again into Christ as you're baptized on the basis of your faith and your confession of your faith in Him. If you need to respond this morning, we want to encourage you to do that while we stand and while we sing.